Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
What's up, y'all? Welcome in to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, filling in for Matt Michaels again tonight, and I'm being joined by Vegas Trump guy himself, Rob Bocelleri. Rob, how are we doing tonight, man?
I'm doing better than Liv Morgan.
Oh, I would say so, man. For those of you who didn't happen to catch Raw, unfortunately, Liv Morgan's match with Kairi Sane was stopped.
There was no match.
Well, yeah, I mean, the match was stopped and, you know, we'll see where we go from here. It looked like a pretty kind of a tame bump, to be honest.
I've never seen such a basic bump before. Tony Khan is taking more complicated bumps.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is, that's the crazy part about professional wrestling is what could appear to be just the most elementary, the most basic of a bump or a fall, could actually have some damage there. So hopefully everything is good with Liv and that this is strictly storyline based.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, we absolutely will. But you know, speaking of something that's not storyline based, let's jump right in and talk about this. AEW and Jon Moxley being sued by a production crew member over alleged injuries. Oh man. So this is pretty interesting. This is a new development as of, I believe it happened actually today as we're recording this. So in case you haven't heard, a production crew member is suing All Elite Wrestling and wrestler Jon Moxley for negligence, civil assault, and battery. The lawsuit stems from an incident during a May 2023 AEW Dynamite steel cage match in Detroit, where Moxley allegedly went off script and shoved the worker, Christopher Despensa, causing severe neck and shoulder injuries. The suit claims damages exceeding $25,000 and accuses both Moxley and AEW of gross negligence. Multiple AEW sources dispute the lawsuit's portrayal of Moxley, and Despensa's attorney noted he never discussed the incident with AEW president Tony Khan. Rob, just really quick reaction. What are you thinking about this?
I'm not thinking anything, and I'll tell you why. $25,000 is a drop in the bucket for any company. It doesn't seem like it rises to the level of anything other than a guy in the moment, full of adrenaline, and a cameraman is too damn close. They know that, you know, in that field, you are literally dealing like a video game where you've got NPCs walking around and you're interacting with them and you're trying to focus on the match. And if this guy wants to put a little sauce on one of the moves and the cameraman's in the line of fire, that is an occupational hazard. It's unfortunate. I'm sure they're going to compensate the guy. I don't even see why this would even be worth anything unless they were just going to give him the bare minimum and just say, hey, here's a quick surgery or whatever. I don't see this as anything. We're not talking about some Janelle Grant stuff. We're not talking about harassment. We're talking about, and in the heat of the moment, the guy does a shoot. And, you know, but wait a minute. Hold on. Bionic Scoop goes, this needs to be communicated with the production
guy. Agreed, yeah.
If you're in that line of work and you have been watching wrestling, even as a casual, you have seen multiple instances by which a cameraman gets in the line of a shoot. And let's talk about any sport for that matter. You know, a guy is trying to, you know, get that zoom in on the sideline and he gets crushed by a linebacker. It happens. The only thing that changes is how they reacted to it in the moment. Were they tactful about it or were they rude about it? They're going to pay the guy and that'll be the end of it. I don't even see this as a thing.
I don't see it as a thing. I will say, though, if anybody in you know, in our listening or viewing audience is qualified enough to communicate this and to have experience in this, it would be Scoop, who does do camera work for FSW here in Las Vegas. And yeah, as he mentioned right there, he had his nose broken ringside. So he definitely has experience, you know, handling things as they happen.
But Scoop, did you sue? Did you ask for any greater compensation? That I want to understand what rate rises this to the level of a lawsuit being filed and $25,000, because in that instance, I shattered my arm as a temp agent, and the I sued, and there were three people at the table. There was my lawyer, the lawyer for the temp agency, and the lawyer for the place I got injured. And they went, "What do you want from us?" The business that I was working for said, "What do you want from us?" And my lawyer said to both them and the temp agency, "Well, let's put it like this. Were you guys going to fire him?" "No." "So what does a person who does what he's doing make yearly?" "Gotcha. That's how much we want." And that was it. Right. That was it. And that's what I'm saying. They probably promised something and then tried to dial it back.
And Scoop does reply again. He says, "The only way I see it being a suit is they promised something and proceeded to back off." So, I mean, yeah, that absolutely could be the case. We'll see what happens. But unfortunately, AEW getting negative press coming out of a very, very solid 4-hour block of programming. Yeah, I said 4-hour block of programming. They did it again this week.
Woo.
Man, I'll tell you, I watched it all in one sitting. It was a good watch, but at the same time, please, can we not make this an every week thing? Whatever.
No,
we do.
I can't. That was rough.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, as far as what all went down, obviously, you know, I just have to make mention of, you know, the ultimate video package, dare I say, the magnum opus of video packages in the history of AEW, that they aired right before the contract signing of Kazuchika Okada and Kenny Omega. If you did not happen to catch it, go back, watch this video package on AEW TV that chronicled their entire New Japan history. Dude, it was a solid, solid video package. And as we found out at the contract signing, it's going to be for not just the International Championship or the Continental Championship. They are going to be merging the two championships at All In and creating a new title, the AEW Unified Championship. Not crazy about the name, but I am crazy about the belt. This is a sexy looking belt. Image blown up.
The belt got a chant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we were it's going to be the Intercontinental belt.
Right.
I said they're not going to do it. They're not going to go that route. I called it.
Yeah. And just really quick, just to kind of put a pin into everything, Scoop does also mention the actual incident. It happens. If Mox didn't handle it well afterwards, I could understand. I didn't get an apology or checked on. So honestly, that kind of speaks volumes in itself right there. But yeah, man.
And by the way, just food for thought, how easy it is to avoid a lawsuit by just going, "Are you okay?"
Right.
"My apologies, sir. You are not part of the show. And that was unfortunate. What can we do to take care of your medical bills?" Versus the opposite, which is you're going to spend the same amount of money anyway and look bad for it, even if it's only for 5 minutes, because people have short attention spans.
Right. And, you know, speaking of short attention spans, obviously, as we mentioned in here, that Okada and Omega segment was great. It actually ended with Okada joining the Don Callis family, leaving Kenny Omega laying in, I would say, a pool of his own blood, but the blood capsule didn't generate that much blood. But I like the story that they're telling with this. And, you know, an interesting wrinkle being thrown in that Okada is joining the Don Callis family. It still doesn't change fact, though, that Omega's walking out of All In Texas with that unified championship. which they've said it will be on par with a world championship. So for those people clamoring to get a brand split or something of that nature, maybe this gives some sort of credence to that.
This sounds like a WWE, the Universal Belt.
Yep.
I'm sick to my stomach.
That was the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, great. They just did the Universal
Unified what? So this started off because you had the North Atlantic champion, and then it became the international champion. And I went, okay, so this is their intercontinental belt. Then they release a continental belt, and I'm like, getting stupid now. Now we're calling it a unified belt, which only works the one time. Right. So what will end up happening is they will rename it something else. This is temporary because this is how AEW works. I'm not hung up on that belt name. It's not going to stay there. It also took the TNT belt, and it pushed it way down the ladder to almost being completely worthless on a guy right now who looks like a cheap action figure.
Dude, what is up with that? It, you know, if there's anybody that's lost as much aura as Adam Cole over the last 5 years, I don't know who it would be.
Adam Cole went from all of that post-NXT energy. He ran in on AEW with one tank of gas. He burned through all of the gas. He went through stupid iterations of his group with ending up with the same people. Has the hot girlfriend who's the champion and has mic skills galore, does almost nothing with her. Not that the mixed couples things ever goes very far, but if anyone could have done it, they had the gold a few times in the rub to do it. And it's like every opportunity he squashed. The only thing that he ever did right was his feud with MJF. And the friendship that they built along the way was the only time he was really relevant.
Dude, even that was cursed by the end of it because of the whole devil reveal. Everybody shit all over that, man. Everybody did. So, you know, he was just cursed from the beginning in AEW, unfortunately.
But what did they do with Kyle O'Reilly? They threw Kyle O'Reilly around like a pinball. They wasted all of Roderick Strong. All three of those guys, if you erased their career and you said, what did they accomplish? Wipe it all out. You wouldn't miss much. Couple of mid belts. You don't miss anything. You don't miss anything from them. Were they heels? Were they big? They were pointless. And I never thought. And when NXT invaded SmackDown and Raw, and I said, "Who the fuck is this guy? He looks like Shawn Michaels without any charisma or muscles, and he has very little charisma at times." And charisma isn't muscles, and charisma isn't in-ring moves. His moves is he takes his knee pad off and bops you in the head with his fucking knock knee. That's a move. And I have to wait 25 minutes for you to drop the boom.
Right.
That's a move.
Yeah. The sad thing is, man, I completely agree with you. I will say waiting 25 minutes for something and having a subpar payoff is never a good thing. But in the opening match of the blockbuster, we had a 30-minute time limit draw to kick off the show between Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. Dude, this was about as good of a 30-minute draw as you can get. People all over the internet talking great things about it. Obviously, you know, the tribalists are quick to, you know, throw in their two cents, but all in all, man, they banger central, absolute banger central, and we're getting the shit for free.
This is what I want to say about this, and this is something WWE does do this, but AEW did it right in that match. The match told a story in the move set that they went through. The opening volley where they were matching each other, kip up for dodge after dodge, avoiding each other's moves. The fact that they wanted to run it back, everyone was completely engrossed, and it was all going towards the greater goal, which is to get Swerve Strickland on the team.
Yep.
That was the whole idea. We spent the entire night reminding everyone that this guy's a babyface, Ospreay's a babyface, and now Hangman Adam Page is unequivocally a babyface.
Yep.
That was what the whole night was about. If you forgot anything else, there were filler matches here and there. You know, oh, Queen Aminata is going to... But there...
Wrecked by Tekla. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what? Did you miss it? Hold on. What was the result? You know, there were a lot of good things that came out of that 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
But one awkward note. Because it was a four-hour show and because the first 2 hours were Dynamite and the second 2 hours were Collision, there was this awkward changing of the guard that happened by which all of a sudden the chairs are vacated. They don't turn the mics off, so you can hear the hot mic of the chairs rolling around. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's Tony Schiavone and there's Ike and then Nigel McGuinness and there's a chair in the middle missing. And we don't know why there's an, and we get Adam Cole to fill in on commentary. Right. And that was a very sloppy execution.
Now, mind you, this was also done right after the injury angle with Kenny Omega.
That's right. And here's my thing. If I'm watching a program and I'm to assume that this is a fluent, congruent program, and everyone's in awe of the Kenny Omega stuff. Now you're telling me that these three guys who just witnessed this brutal beatdown, so where the guy's coughing up a cherry rhubarb pie, and all of a sudden now, yeah, he's coughing up blood. They hit it with the nightstick, the New Jersey nightstick they called that the Don Callis had, where they finally connect with this guy's midsection, and then he's taking elbow shots, leg drops, and the gurney. My God. And then your commentary crew is gone. A minute later.
Yeah.
It was awkward. Exactly. It was very awkward. I get why they felt the need to have the other two guys there, but they could have rotated them out one match at a time and had a little bit of congruency, because it would be like watching some old Superman, you know, show or cartoon. And then someone goes, last time on Superman. Wait a minute. It's a woman speaking now. Last time on Superman. Wait, what happened to the first guy? This time on Dragon Ball Z. Like, wait. Well, why do we have different people now? But it was dramatic. It was just undercut by how odd it was to have two different guys. And then you could hear the sound as they're fumbling around to get to their chairs.
Yeah.
It was a little weird. They could have executed that a little bit better.
Yeah, there definitely were missteps. I do have to say... you know, the Carlos Cabrera segment was a bit interesting. That was in the second half of the show.
You all know who I am. No, I don't know who you are.
No, and unfortunately, that was a bit of a questionable kind of a circumstance around that entire thing. I gotta say though, man, the story stuff, and you briefly started to touch on it with Swerve. They had a backstage segment with Hangman Page where he point blank told the Bucks that there was no plan, that he did not enlist their help, you know, to make sure that Swerve didn't get the championship and that, you know, that he did and all this kind of stuff. So right there, I think it's pretty interesting that they are laying the groundwork. And as of right now, Your all-in match, obviously, you know, we've got the three that we've had, Moxley and Hangman Page, Tony Storm and Mercedes Moné, Okada and Omega. The match that hasn't been announced yet, but it definitely looks like we're going to be getting, will be Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland versus the Young Bucks. So yeah. Sign me up for that. That's going to be a great match. And quite frankly, I think that you keep Ospreay off of TV for a couple of weeks, and
they won't.
It does kind of suck that you know, next week they are going to be at Arena Mexico, so breaking down some barriers there. Obviously, you've got Mark Briscoe and Kazuchika Okada. You've got the CMLL Women's Champion Zeuxis facing Mercedes Moné. And are they going to end up giving Mercedes another championship belt? I believe so. So I think that's what's going to happen there. Yep. You've got to.
They'll do it for two reasons. They'll do it so they can screw with WWE and AAA.
Yeah, exactly. You've got MJF and Mystico. You've got the 4 million pesos.
MJF and Sin Cara.
Ah, yes.
All you'll ever be is Sin Cara to me.
Like, honestly, I popped when he said that because I figured if anybody's going to say that shit, it's going to be MJF. And so when he called, when he busted out Sin Cara, yeah, I laughed my ass off.
Sorry.
No, absolutely. Very solid stuff, man. And then you've got the 4 million pesos high-flying four-way. You've got Mascara Dorada, Ricochet. You've got Hologram in there and Leo Rush. Incidentally, that equates to just shy of $300,000. So gotta love that. Okay. You've got two party matches. You got a 10-man tag and a 12-man tag. But I do want to draw attention to this. This is pretty interesting. For Ring of Honor taping that will be occurring there, you're going to have Athena and Billy Starks teaming up against Thunder Rosa and Persephone for an ROH match. I think that's going to be pretty solid. And then you've got Lee Moriarty, who's very solid in the ring, going against the legendary Blue Panther. So all in all, I think that this is an instance of AEW knowing where they're going, knowing their fan base in Mexico. And realistically, I would love for this show to appear more like a CMLL show rather than an AEW Dynamite or a Grand Slam Mexico. Keep your traditional CMLL ring in there. Keep everything there, as would be the case.
This is what I'll say about it. I don't care about the two Ring of Honor matches because Ring of Honor has been buried and there's no hope for that unless you bring Athena to the main roster. She is useless. Lee Moriarty is a filler wrestler. Now, storytelling time. The Death Riders and the Young Bucks. Look at the lineup there. The Young Bucks and then you've got the three Death Riders against the Ops. Great. And you've got Lee, and then you've got Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. So, you know, versus Young Bucks. So you're setting up that storytelling. We already saw with Will Ospreay. Well, you just said already Will Ospreay needs to take 2 weeks off. We already
know that. He won't.
So we already know. What did I say? It's not going to happen. What do you do a second later? Taking the cleats to the face and he was covering his face up. How do they sell that injury? That's what I want to know. I hope that they don't do the stupid eye patch because it's cleats to the face. They got to do some Don Callis scars or something. Yeah. Sell it.
Yeah.
They need to sell that. We already know that this will be a hardcore match now. And this will have to be a match that will rival the Young Bucks cage match with the Lucha Brothers. It's going to have to go to that level. With Ospreay will go hard in the ring, but Swerve Strickland will do hardcore and will bring violence. This will be a good one. Here's the thing. The idea would be, in theory, that whomever wins that night of that tag team is going to go on to help their perspective side in the main event match. Although even then, you're not guaranteed. Just let's say for sake of argument, you beat up the Young Bucks. You break, you know, Matt Jackson's ankle or something like that, or hobble him or Nick or whatever. Okay, that doesn't mean you still don't get a run in. I'm thinking that there's still an opportunity for someone that we have not seen to run in. And it's got to be someone we haven't seen in a while. Otherwise, this is too cut and dry and straightforward, but they've set up the fourth match. They just haven't set up the stipulations, and it will be a hardcore match with weapons and the whole nine yards.
Of course it will. But obviously, you know, that's Grand Slam Mexico. We'll talk about that obviously next week, recap that. But that's not the only match, the only show that went down in Mexico.
Triple A.
Yeah, Triple A. With their Triple Mania Regia event, headlined by El Hijo del Vikingo retaining the AAA Mega Championship over Alberto El Patron. And the crowd did not like that whatsoever. They overbooked this shit like crazy to get a babyface reaction for Vikingo after it being viewed as Vikingo being the chosen one. And by chosen one, I'm not saying like Drew McIntyre. I'm saying like we're installing this champion. And by we, I'm saying WWE and TKO.
Hold on. There's a double on the scale.
Yeah. So obviously the crowd is just organically booing Vikingo as a result. So they've got to get some damage control done there. No pun intended. Elsewhere, you've got this. Who would have thunk it? Los Garza win the AAA Tag Team Championships at Triple Mania. So you've got a WWE tag team holding the AAA Tag Championships.
Hold on, what's with the Mexican Joan Rivers in the middle?
She is one of the owners of AAA, or one of the governing board members of AAA.
I don't know. She's got enough plastic surgery. There might still be some shelf life left there. Yamame.
Nice. Speaking of shelf life. Oh yeah. Say his name. He appears. Joe Hendry and Mr. Iguana. I don't know if you could ask for too much more of a viral backstage shot than those guys. So, you know, everything that I criticize WWE over, you know, it seems like as if they're willing to play nice with the other promotions now, as long as they're on the green list, if you will.
Wait a minute. They own AAA, so that doesn't count. And TNA is – NXT is a third brand – and TNA is experimental now. Let's just call it for what it is. Joe Hendry is smart because he's probably nursing a shoulder injury, rotator cuff injury, and this gives him the opportunity to make the rounds without putting a lot of damage on the body. For all we know, he had a surgery. And if they're smart, they don't tell anybody about it. He gets his little surgery. He runs around. He smiles, kisses babies, and then he just shows up in NXT. Or he just shows up and skips NXT altogether. I don't think I would want that. I would want him in NXT. It gives him a few more segments where you could transition him off of TNA from NXT. And then maybe a year or two down the line, bring him up in the main roster.
I was just going to say you could definitely use him to help out that TNA rating. Because not that they have an issue with ratings right now. Because quite frankly, they are over-indexing on where they're targeted to be. But, why not keep him in the pipeline?
The difference between him and a Jade Cargill was they identified that he was TNA. They made that transition apparent. They sold it and framed it the right way versus with Jade Cargill, establishing that she was worthy of being at the top of the ladder right out of the gate. That was the one thing I said and reinforced to everybody else. If you're going to show me a wrestler who came from another promotion and immediately throw her on all three of your shows, you're telling me now that she's at that caliber, that she can skip the line. And that's what they did. Yeah, and I called it back then. Whether it was right or wrong, that's what Age did.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're playing him right, Joe Hendry. They're doing him solid.
Yeah, and speaking of doing it right, WWE is actually going to be running a couple of shows, not co-branded with AAA, running WWE Super Shows on Saturday and Sunday in July, the 26th and 27th. So pretty interesting stuff there. Obviously, as the image shows, on Saturday, the 26th of July and 27th of July as well, that Sunday. So pretty interesting stuff. But kind of pivoting over to WWE at this point, we didn't really give too much love to SmackDown last week, but let's talk about this past episode of SmackDown, largely carried by the four-way matches for the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. Rob, did you have a chance to check out any of the show? And
I did. I don't even want to talk about the four-way matches. Shinsuke eating it.
You knew that was going to happen, man.
Yeah, Shinsuke eating it is bad. He went from one of the most innovative wrestlers. He does none of his arsenal anymore. He was a striker of strikers. He does nothing but Venom and the man, just whatever. The women. You have the Pixie, who's part of DIY. She's on her way out. Whatever her contract is up, she's going to get the boot along with her husband. They're boring. She's a filler. You've got Charlotte Flair. Flair is stale bread. There is nothing that she can do to win anybody over as a face or as a heel. She can't sell being a heel. I don't care. At the point where people don't boo you anymore and there's just silence means you're bad. Alexa Bliss. I don't care. I just don't fucking care. And the reason why I don't care is you started off with Alexa Bliss where you left off with Alexa Bliss as this ambiguous heel baby face. We're not establishing what it is she wants to do. Don't tell me that your storyline is that you just want a belt, but you're kind of goth and you're kind of evil and you got the doll. They're just throwing all of her gimmicks all at the wall at once. And they're banking on the nostalgia factor, which is why people in the IWC are like, oh, well, she's old. No, she's one of the younger talents in that lineup. But the reason why you would even think that is because we saw this gimmick from 2 years ago. I would have not had her come out goth at this point if you're not going to establish any storyline behind her. If she's just going after a title run, I'm bored. You have to have something better. The title runs where you just want a belt bore me. The title runs that come as a result of you having a bigger backstory building up and brewing. I mean, look at the New Day. The New Day today were in the back. They didn't cut to them. They didn't cut a promo. It was Xavier Woods dressed up like a pimp. And they walk by and he's got a pimp jacket on and a pimp cane. He looks ridiculous even for himself. They're not doing anything with these guys. It makes those belts worthless. And it makes guys with really great mic skills and really great wrestling ability worthless. So to have them in the back, not even cut a promo, but just be like a fucking... And then what happened? Bailey went, oh, look at that. It's the New Day. He's a pimp and the other one's just dressed up in regular clothes. Well, why is he dressed up like a pimp? Hello? So that's what happens. Now you got this one. I don't care. I don't care about Alexa Bliss. I just fucking nothing burger. Now,
props to Xavier Woods for the Silky Johnson cosplay from the Dave Chappelle show.
Right. But here's my thing. Alexa Bliss, if she, in the course of this match, she starts spitting venom out and she starts doing some demonic shit, all right. But that's not what you're framing this as. So you're losing me.
Yeah.
You're losing me.
And you know, obviously, let's call it what it is, man. John Cena is continually getting beaten down by Ron Killings on this show on two separate occasions. So gotta love the snap booking that they're implementing with, you know, actually making Killings into a credible challenger for John Cena. And you know what? I'll call it right now. I would love nothing more than for Ron Killings to be the one to take that championship off of John Cena.
All right. Now, you're high. That ain't going to fucking happen. Now, here's the thing. WWE, I'm going to speak to you right now. Now, you don't know who I am. My name is Rob Bosselary. I'm a comic on this trip. If I get bigger in stature, you're going to have me in your front row one day. And I'm going to wave awkwardly, and then you're going to keep the camera on me for about 5 seconds too long to the point where by the time I'm done waving, you're still focused on me, and then I got to engage in another smile and wave. Just telling you, we both know that's how this is going to happen. Now, with that said, don't give me blue balls, okay? I want Ron Killing to be the reason that John Cena loses his belt. I want him to be like that scene in Dragon Ball Z where Vegeta hits Cell just hard enough that Gohan's able to, you know, send in that finishing blow. That's what I want. I want it to be a coordinated effort. I do not want you to take this Ron Killings and dance around that he's R-Truth. No, R-Truth is gone. It's gone. No, it's gone. And it's okay that he's gone. He needs to be Ron Killings Hey, you want to know what Trump looks like? What I look like in real life is a mulatto. I am from New York. Father's from Queens, where Trump is. And mom is from the Bronx. Spent half the time in there. Raised in Westchester as well. And you get this. Back to this. Ron Killings right now is super fucking over. Now, with AEW, AEW fails to react. But WWE is slow to react. And then when you guys finally do, and you get all the social media shit, and people have to beat you over the head, a month and a half down the road, you toss us a weak bone. No, I want to finish, okay? Don't give me blue balls. Let me bust one out. Let him win a match against Cena. Let somebody interfere. Let it be Cody Rhodes, and let Ron Killings get the make Cena eat a pin. That's what everyone deserves. Ron Killings deserves it, and I hope that's in his contract, that he gets a pin over Cena. Cena would like it. Everyone would like it. Your fans would like it. And then Ron Killings either needs to help Cena, so if you go full heel turn, Killings comes out and helps him, or Killings comes out there, beats him one more time, and is the reason why Cena loses. But you need to put Killings in some sort of, not necessarily title opportunity, but he needs to be involved with the process, and it needs to be consistent. And then you give him a mid-belt, and you make him earn it. You don't have him talk about little Jimmy. You don't have him do any of that shit. No la-di-da-di, we like to party. None of that bullshit. Don't even give him the same fucking music. Change up his music. Give him an opportunity to show you what he can do, because you've wasted him for 15 fucking years. He was a fucking savage on TNA. All right? Go put him on TNA now. You know, he'll be fucking champion by the end of the month. Go put him on AEW. They'll put him over the moon for a month. Then they'll drop him. But they'll put him over the moon for a month. Okay? Put him on Ring of Honor. You know what they would do? They would have him team up with Mark Briscoe. The two of them would put on camo shorts and go out there and do karate chops at people's throats. He is that entertaining. He's that versatile. But right now, he is in the zone, okay? He is in the zone. Howard Stern always famously said, a lot of you people, he would say this when he would prank call radio shows where there's like these no-name guys. And he goes, a lot of you people get prank calls. It's the most interesting thing going on your TV show right now. Learn to understand when something entertaining is going on and roll with it, okay? Fucking roll with it. Just do it. Just, what do you have to lose? What, is you going to lose tons of ratings? You know how much shit you put out over the fucking PG era? No, you owe us. You fucking owe us, okay? You took too long to put a belt on Danielson, and by the time you did it, I didn't care anymore. And then you went and brought it back and made him the fucking recycle champion. And that was the worst shit ever with the fucking canvas belt, okay? You fucking owe us. Don't fuck this up. Okay? Sorry.
All right. No, you're all good, man. You are all good. Let's pivot to the latest happenings in pro wrestling. Let's talk a little bit about what just happened on Monday Night Raw. And Rob, what do you got to say about what went on tonight? I know that we briefly touched on the Liv injury.
Let's go. Bring that logo up. Bring that little picture up one more time. I'll go counterclockwise. Bailey and Rebecca Quinn, Becky Lynch, so bored. As these two women, these geriatric wrestlers, are fighting for a mid-belt, I don't give a shit. It's literally two bitter women. I don't give a flying fucking fuckity fuck. Don't care. Next, I love Liv Morgan going in and going to Io Sky. Hey, just give me the belt. Just give me the belt. Just you can just give me the belt. It's okay. You can just give me the belt. And then she eats an elbow injury. 2 seconds in, she flops on the ring. It's a basic bitch bump. I think what we saw tonight was a work. She sat in the corner and her elbow was red. They're saying she may have dislocated her shoulder. This is an excellent, excellent opportunity for Roxanne Perez. This is perfect. You do not have to go down the whole, route where, you know, everyone's upset. No. Roxanne Perez takes up the mantle. She fills in the gap. Dom is busting slop with her and eating her chicken tendies out at the end of July. That'll be it. We saw Asuka return. She was shaky on her legs as the match started, and you can see that leg is heavily guarded up, which is scary. Here's the problem I saw with that from a physical standpoint. She was doing a lot of spinning heel kicks from the good leg. You are going to grind the fucking shit out of that left leg, your ankles, your patella, your ACL, your MCL. You are going to put so much wear and tear on the good leg to compensate for the other one. And a couple of times you saw her just kind of jogging in place. She was trying to get her bearings.
Exactly.
Which is fine. But my only issue with that is now you're going to put her in a title contention right out of the gate. It would have been better had she been knocked out of the ring and somebody else got that. And
speaking
then
of.
Yeah.
There we are. Asuka winning the matchup tonight and advancing to the semifinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Also, this was an opportunity for her to come out fresh faced. I didn't care for the over the top makeup. I don't think she needed it. I think it would have been easier for her to just come out as Asuka with any type of rainbow hair. Because, again, I don't like when they give the Japanese wrestlers mist or even tease that. It's really tacky. Not everyone's the great Muda. It doesn't need to be done. It's been done to death. And then the chick from American Made, Ivy Nile. She is the next Queen of Spades. She is a filler wrestler. I don't know if she can't figure out how to cut promos in the back. I don't know what that discovery moment, that aha moment is. But I can picture her being good on the mic. I don't know why. I feel like she's underutilized right now. I just something about it. I want to see her do more. And she looks attractive. And I like the physical look. I like the everything, the way they're doing it. But she's just being wasted. It's unfortunate. I'm happy to see Asuka. She got her legs as the match progressed. She got better. But I'm just leery about throwing her in the deep water right out of the gate.
Yeah, completely agreed. What about that that final match right there at the bottom right? And for those of you that are not able to see the graphic, it is for the four-way with Rusev, Jey Uso, Sheamus, and Bronson Reed for the Men's King of the Ring tournament. And spoiler alert, there you go. Jey Uso picks up the win and shakes the hand of his next week. Cody Rhodes, former tag partners, locking up next week in the King of the Ring tournament. Not a fan?
What was that?
Not a fan?
Oh, hold on. So Cody Rhodes is going to win, and somebody from the Bloodline is going to interfere, and you're going to come out.
Let's actually take a look at the full brackets so that we can kind of fantasy book this thing. And obviously, now that Uso's in the final four here, he'll be in the bottom right. But on the other side, you've got Sami Zayn and Randy Orton. So, Rob, tell me how you think this is going to unfold.
Fucking Sami Zayn. You know what? The plucky underdog character. No, we have to have somebody from the other brand. If it's Orton versus Rhodes, not going to happen. So someone's probably going to fuck with Orton. This way, Orton can spin off and have his own thing. I don't know. Rhodes versus Orton. Because Zayn and Zayn is Bloodline, old Bloodline, and Uso is Bloodline, and they need to get Uso away from all of this. I don't know. Obviously, it's going to be Cody Rhodes winning because the other three guys aren't going to do shit. Orton says he wants to get his 15th win. I don't see it. as beef and strong as he looks, he's very, very slow. And I just don't see him. I don't see him in that perfect spot to take anything right now. So Orton's not going to win anything unless he's a heel. Zayn, I could give two shits about. He's a guy who has to chase, and he needs to chase, and he needs to chase, and he needs to chase because he doesn't do anything when he wins a belt. Uso can't cut a promo. It's going to be Rhodes. Yeah. Uso can't cut a promo. He cut the one promo. I'm not afraid of you, dog. Okay, and then after that, it was just walking around looking like Dawn of the Dead with his mouth hanging open all the time. He does not cut promos. He doesn't even react well. He just stares. It's not a good look. They'll put him back in a tag contention. He'll go after the New Day, and then you can have an entertaining tag feud for SummerSlam. That's the only thing I can see happening.
You know, if he's unable to cut promos, his dad cut one hell of a promo on a podcast calling for the jobs of the writers behind his title reign. Ah, Rikishi, Rikishi, Rikishi. Here is the full, one of the quotes. And this is from the Off the Top podcast. I didn't think it was fair. 51 days, that was it. I mean, Intercontinental belt, a short run, that was it. What is it against my boy? Would you have done that to Randy Orton? Would you have done that to, you know, John Cena? And again, those are the words of Rikishi talking about.
No, because they can cut fucking promos. That's the whole fucking point. Look, in any job, let's say it's like sales. Any job to do with sales. I'm a comic and I'm a salesman by day, right? You do a sales job and you take over somebody else's market, or you get into a job where you work at commission. You go on a car lot. They're going to go, okay, so we're going to train you on your first week, your first month. After that, you're on your own. First job I had out in Vegas, I said, so how does this work now that I'm in sales? Just go sell. That's it. Go sell. Go figure out a promo. How did John Cena get to where he was? Because they heard him rapping in a bus, and they said, we can do something with that. We'll make him an Eminem character. He'll wear a lock around there. He'll look goofy. And then he transitioned into this babyface Marine type character, but it was a gradual transition, and they let him talk. Every time Uso says something, it is yeet. That's it. He is an entrance. He's energy. But at one point, you have got to sit behind stage and go, what are you going to say to me? What are you going to say to me? Go watch Blood on the Mat. Watch Rock and Mankind. Was that the movie where they're going over how they're I quit? Yeah.
Beyond the Mat. Yeah.
Beyond the Mat. Beyond the Mat. And they go over what they're going to do in the ring. Now, is that cutting a promo? No. But the idea is, we know in advance that they are going to discuss with one another what is going to be said. The ring general, okay, Gunther. Gunther, if he's scared, he shows it well. If he's angry, he shows it well. If he's being arrogant and he can back it up, is he the best guy in the mic? No, he's not, but he's good. He's good enough.
He's very good.
He's not the best guy there. He's not The Rock. He's not Jericho. He doesn't have to be. He comes out there with the air and the arrogance. And he's not a mealy mouth like his old cohort there. Ludwig Kaiser. I was going to say Kaiser Wilhelm. Ludwig Kaiser. He's not a Kaiser. He's not that mealy. He comes out and I am the ring general and I am excellent. I am wrestling excellence in it. And you're like, okay, cool. What promo did Uso cut? Well, no. And what about Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns was another one. Why did they give him these title runs for so goddamn long? Everybody, we hated it when you saw this fucking guy get title run after title run and opportunity after opportunity. Still rocking the Shield outfit for way too long. And he couldn't cut a promo. And then they put him in with John Cena, and John said, hey, yo, it's a promo. You got to learn how to cut one. And great. But it's a guy that half the crowd hates schooling the other guy that everybody hated. The only guy in that fucking family that could cut a promo was The Rock. Rikishi was entertaining, but Rikishi wasn't cutting promos. That's why The Rock even made fun of him a few times, and we forgot that they were family, because I don't need him. Dwayne Johnson didn't need any of these people. The guy can't cut a promo. In a long time, if you ever watch his matches, I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to make fun of him. He would sit there and go, now, who can cut a promo now? I'm going to dial back what I said because Solo Sikoa can cut a promo, and Jimmy and Jacob Fatu can cut a promo. Those two can do it. Yeah. Those two can do it. But the other two, give them tag belts. Let Jimmy do all the talking. Jimmy's verbose. He's not great, but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah. And, I think tonight we saw the real reason why the title was taken off of Jey Uso. And that was because Gunther was standing in the middle of the ring and then happened to get a return. Yes, it set the stage for what's going to go down at WWE Saturday Night's main event, July 12th. In case you're keeping score at home, that is the same night as AEW All In. So, of course, AEW is being counter-programmed by WWE, not just with Evolution, but also with Saturday Night's main event, and also with Gunther versus Goldberg. You awake over there, buddy? Yeah. I mean, realistically, the only thing that I could think of that this could end well with is if you do have Goldberg either soften up Gunther or, God forbid, win the title, and then you have a Seth Rollins cash-in. That's the only thing that makes sense in this instance, and the only thing that, quite frankly, could save this.
So Seth Rollins will attempt to cash-in. It will be thwarted. It's too soon for that, number one. When Gunther came out, I was shocked, but not Gunther. When Goldberg came in, Gunther, I was shocked. I was like, okay, well, that's a surprise. And then we see that they're running back the Atlanta ship. Gunther gulped, and Goldberg does look more imposing than Gunther. He still does. His physique is amazing. Yeah. And for that matter, The Rock's physique, those two guys still look ring ready at all times. I'm yawning because I already know that nothing is going to become of this, because in reality, Goldberg is sloppy in the ring at his age. He's dangerous in the ring. He injured himself the last time, and the famous match with The Undertaker only a few years ago was botched central. So I don't see anything worthwhile here. Nothing is going to come of this. Nothing is going to happen with this, Nothing. This is shock value. Now, if that were Brock Lesnar, I would shit myself, because that looks a little bit more menacing. Oh, fuck, Brock Lesnar. But this guy, And he's got a shirt on that says The Last Ride. No,
yep.
You are not going to try to cram in a Last Ride gimmick in one match. All right? You did it once because you had a kid at a late age in life and you wanted the kid to see you wrestle. You did that. Trish Stratus did that. Respect. But that's not a whole marketing thing that you're going to try to market a Last Ride t-shirt. And it was a comical looking t-shirt. It looked like you were trying to piggyback off the Cena shit. It's lame. Don't do it. Make a Goldberg's back shirt. Just leave it ambiguous as to whether or not you're ever going to retire. I don't want to see that. I'm bored. This is going to go nowhere. I am not going to not watch All In or bounce back and forth for this. You think I'm going to watch this over John Moxley potentially losing his belt? No, you're not going to peel me off from a Moxley thing or a Hangman and Page or Ospreay or any of it. All In's going to be far more entertaining.
Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of entertaining, we're kind of going to pivot a little bit. And there's been a lot of wrestlers that are popping up in movies and TV shows. Let's get it started with this. So Cody Rhodes made an appearance in the Naked Gun trailer. What? So he's gonna be in the Naked Gun reboot or remake that's coming out very shortly this year. The hair is awesome. But yeah, so that's a shoot photo, man. That's that's not AI.
He's got the vest still. He's still got his regular outfit on. He's probably they just slapped the wig on him.
He probably did that shit right after a taping. Just came in the suit and everything. Didn't even need to go into wardrobe.
I love it. And MJF, I know you got MJF in there.
MJF, I got MJF later. We'll definitely be talking about that. But elsewhere, sticking with AEW, though, you mentioned MJF. How about Hook making his debut on the big screen as part of Money Talks? So that hit the silver screen, I believe, this past week. So Hook is going to be on, I don't know, maybe he's launching a different career. That's
the same shit he wears all the time, too.
That's the same fucking shit, both of them. And... And speaking of people that are wearing the same shit, American Gladiators is coming back as well. And this is interesting. Oh. So if you've got the image pulled up, you can see Wardlow front and fucking center.
And also, to his right, Jesse Godders.
You got Jesse Godders. You got Rick Boogs. You got Camille. And you also have J-Rod, who is known to OVW fans and Western States independent wrestling fans as well. So a lot of professional wrestlers going to be suiting up for the new American Gladiators, which is going to be hosted by The Miz, incidentally. Hey, man, it'll be fun to watch, if nothing else, for the nostalgia pop.
Yeah, but yeah, look at these. Oh, my God. But Jesse Godders.
Rick Boogs kills me.
Rick Boogs kills me. He looks like what's his name from Blue Bloods?
Yes.
Tom Selleck. Oh, he looks like Tom Selleck. Yeah. Jesus Christ. He's like, you know what? Hey, Blue Bloods, when you want to do like a fucking flashback episode, just get Rick Boogs. He'll even shred. He'll grab a guitar and start shredding.
Right?
My name is Rick Boogs.
That's awesome. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot of talent and personnel being on the move between promotions. And it continues. Danhausen's AEW contract expires in July 2025. And, you know, I don't think he's been on AEW TV in about a year or maybe even longer. So, you know, if that guy can get some work elsewhere, maybe he goes to NXT, maybe to TNA. Good on him, man. Danhausen is consistently one of the higher merch sellers for AEW. And, you know, his misuse and mishandling, honestly, is I wish it wasn't, but it was par for the course for a lot of people in AEW.
Hey, here's my thing. He's really a Ring of Honor guy originally.
Yeah.
If you throw him into WWE, God help you if he doesn't own his name and his gimmick, because I don't want to see him repackaged as anything else. If you give him a chance on TNA, it's possible you can throw him into NXT, but they would R-Truth his ass out rapidly.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
And speaking of some other guys possibly on the move, Private Party, AEW Originals. Since day one, they've been on the roster. And in fact, on the very first Dynamite, they beat the Young Bucks, if you will remember, 6 years ago. Their contracts are up very shortly and are not expected to sign, while also WWE has shown interest in Private Party. So it'll be interesting to see all the people that talk shit about Private Party as being, nothing. How WWE fans' opinions change on Private Party. But
that's everything out of the WWE. Well, who is this guy?
Of course, man.
And Michael Cole calls him and fucks it all up. And
always.
These guys are trying to throw their own party, huh? You see what I did there?
One guy that's not on the move is Omos. That's right. Cool. Omos re-signed his contract with WWE, and all of the Omos Sapiens rejoiced. So, pretty much.
You mean the bouncer for the underground Shane McMahon?
Oh, yeah. Raw like, Underground, bro.
That was the...
Incidentally, he... We talk about WWE people holding championships. Omos went over to Japan and held the GHC champion tag team championships from Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah, earlier this year. So, I mean, he was over like crazy in Japan. He just can't do it here. Speaking of tall people that show up, this guy made his debut on Main Event. And, he didn't go by the name that was leaked. In case you can't see the screen, that is none other than Hikuleo, a guy who's been under WWE contract for a year, just now making his debut. And if you can barely see behind him, the first letter on his Tron was an H. Oh. So they let him keep his name. So
that means... What does that mean now? Because this is me. WWE never does big factions. Not they really don't. They don't do it. They could easily make one big clusterfuck bloodline faction and have them run roughshod. And it would be so goddamn enter-fucking-taining. They have not done anything like that since Stone Cold took over as the leader of all the ECW, WCW guys. Remember that in 2001, back when Jerry the King Lawler was fired because, you know, his ass of the month was fired, so he ran after her, and we had Paul Heyman on commentary. It was an interesting time in wrestling. Some great shit went down.
Oh, yes.
I would love there to be a bloodline versus faction. It would be fucking incredible to watch everybody else have to stand up against the bloodline. You have Roman Reigns come out. Maybe you cut his hair. Maybe you do something. You make him look a little bit different. And you don't need Paul Heyman. He could say, hey, I learned everything I needed to learn from Paul. And now I know how to do this. I don't need him. And just run through everybody. Everybody. And then Seth Rollins could be the evil guy on the other side of the fence because he'll get the belt eventually. He'll take it from Gunther. Gunther will try to babyface him up. Seth Rollins will get it. Please. Matt Michaels is, God bless him, he's recovering, but sometimes he doesn't think straight. You have an entire cast of Samoans that you can make a Samoan dynasty. You could give yourself a year of Samoans running through both rosters. You could call it the red bloodline, the blue bloods and the bloodline and the blue bloods.
I'm getting NWO flashbacks from that shit. So I got to stop you right there. No.
Hey,
I'm not going to chew sweets either.
We're blue bloods for life.
No. Oh my God. I'm busting it out again.
What if they do the tsunami? They bring them from. They do a tsunami from the top, from the very, very top. What if he's on the harness? Oh no, tsunami!
Oh my God! Oh my God! Let's actually give some love to local promotion Future Stars of Wrestling, who just finished their Sweet 16 anniversary show on Sunday, June 15th. It was a great show top to bottom from the Vail Pavilion at the Silverton, in which we saw history being made. And we saw Danny Limelight lose in a 30-minute Ironman match to Ice Williams, WWE ID athlete Ice Williams. And then what happened immediately following? Well, if ever there is a time to cash in a contract, that'd be the time, and G Sharp did just that. He cashed in his cash in the case and took home the FSW Heavyweight Championship after laying out Ice Williams. So very solid stuff from everybody all across the board. And I do have to make mention of something. After the match, former FSW Heavyweight Champion Danny Limelight left his boots in the ring. So, Whoa. If Danny Limelight is indeed calling it a career, sir, you've done a hell of a job. And it
how many years has he wrestled?
He's been at it for quite some time, man. And he's done an amazing job as champion, holding that championship by hook or by crook, whatever he had to do. And you know, I think that he's done a lot of stunt work in Hollywood. And he's choosing to, I believe, focus more extensively on that, leaving the professional wrestling stuff behind. So, Danny, if you're watching this or if you're listening to this, excellent stuff, man. It's been wonderful to follow your career. And thank you for the privilege of interviewing you as well. So let's –
I will not yawn.
There you go. There you go. A non-yawning Rob is always a good thing. Let's actually – yawn and take a dump. All right. And, you know, this post from social media is from a few years back, but it's apropos as hell. And I have to, you know, I have to put this out there. I find it interesting that, Miz was talking shit to Punk when Punk was a free agent, saying, "Oh, sorry, I didn't change the culture." And Punk simply replied, "Go suck a blood money covered dick in Saudi Arabia, you fucking dork." Interesting. We're right on the heels of that there Saudi Arabia show, and Punk is on the show. My, how times change. But
Miz was always a dork.
Yeah, that too. But obviously, we just had Father's Day here in the U.S. And what better person than AEW to use for a Father's Day promotion than Christian Cage? To all the inspirational, wise, selfless, loved, courageous, generous, compassionate, respected, sacrificing, and devoted fathers of the world, happy Father's Day. And here it is from Maxwell Jacob Friedman to his dad, Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore. I said, Happy Father's Day, Dad. And Rob, as you mentioned, MJF will be in Happy Gilmore 2 playing Happy Gilmore's son, Happy Gilmore Jr. Good stuff there. And also, speaking of Father's Day, Rob Van Dad coming soon. Congratulations to Rob Van Dam and Katie Forbes on the expectation of their wonderful, wonderful child. Baby Van Dam coming 2026. So
a little presumptuous awesome. There. She's got a property of WWE superstar. All right. All right. I see you. I see you.
Hey, there you go, man. There you go. And speaking of former WWE, Priscilla Kelly, the former Gigi Dolin, was involved in a match at Wrestling Revolver this past week. Unfortunately, this match was also stopped because of injury, much like the Liv Morgan match earlier tonight. And it turns out that it's not a cause for alarm. Thankfully, Priscilla Kelly saying, "My patella came out of place. It does that from time to time. It's an anatomy issue I've had my whole life, and I've managed to always work through it. Even sometimes continuing matches after it happens, it's not an injury. It just hurts a good bit, and I have to pop it back into place. Now you know. Sorry, guys."
No, Jan, respect. That's respect.
Absolutely. And speaking of popping back into place, congratulations to the Beast Mordos, Frank Mordos, attorney at RAR, who actually legitimately this week did receive his passing of the bar exam. So, yes, the individual who plays the Beast Mortos is now a lawyer. And if AEW doesn't find a way to work this into storyline, they're missing the boat.
Excuse me, especially, sir. It's pronounced abogado.
There you go. Well played.
He's an abogado.
Well played. And, you know, maybe if this guy has you know, if he's a part of LFI and if they want to choose to do something involving a lawyer, I don't know if there's really anybody that would be better equipped to give us something that LFI should expect. Arizona.
Now, I don't know what President you were expecting there. Showed us a guy with blonde hair. And Barack Obama doesn't have blonde hair. In fact, American people, quite honestly, don't even trust people with blonde hair. But what we do trust is Mexican beasts getting the bar exam. Because being a Mexican beast doesn't mean that you can't serve this country and defend people who need it. So Senor Mortos.
Yes.
We'd like to honor your accomplishments as an up-and-coming beast attorney. That's right, beast attorney. I don't know what a beast attorney does, but we speak your name. And we honor your hard work and diligence and sacrifice. And they tell me that you'll also be wrestling at a pay-per-view called Sacrifice. So, to you, Mr. Mortos, I'd like to issue you a warm welcome and to say to folks like you, gracias por su tiempo y bienvenido a Estados Unidos.
All right, there you have it. And yeah, you gotta love live production. You never know who you're going to get. You know, you think one thing and then you go a different way. And, you know, just like what's going to happen. All right. So for the AEW over-under this week, it's not necessarily an over-under, but it's going to be a money line bet. If you're going to be betting anything this week for AEW programming, you may as well bet that Mercedes Moné will, in fact, become the CMLL Women's World Champion, dethroning Zouk Cease so that she can become, what, Moné Five Belts? Yeah, it's as certain as it can get. So that's definitely going to happen this week. Ah, man. But I don't know, man, as we start to wind it down, Rob, your final thoughts. Where can we see you this week? How can we follow your social media? And can people get a cameo from you?
Yes. So Vegas Trump Guy on Instagram and TikTok, and it's got my cameo info there as well. You can see me performing in a comedy contest on the 30th, 2 weeks from now. So I will not be here on our 30th show. Hopefully Matt's up and running by then.
Because I hope so. Jeez, yeah. Because otherwise they're going to be putting up with me for an hour. God.
Oh, no. Maybe I'll get Daryl out of retirement and he can. Nice. Yeah, we'll get him out of retirement. That is one. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, there is a show at a spot on Western Sahara called Stuff My Turkey, by which myself and my comedy crew called the Four Horsemen of Comedy, which is me, Lex Las Vegas, Mike Stiggs, and Khalil Mack will be performing tomorrow. On Wednesday night, if you want to see me perform, you can see me at Ola Abibi. That show is at 10 o'clock. And last week I had an impromptu showing at Rick's Rolling Smoke. So once and then you can see me at Rick's Rolling Smoke. I got to do the show with the protests. That was fun. I went up and then like two people went up after me and they're like, "All right, fuck it." There's too many helicopters and cop cars flying around. No one's paying attention anymore. And it was even better to do it as Donald Trump in the middle of
a fucking
immigration protest. It's like, "Hey, let me not walk down the street. I was two blocks away from the city hall." I'm like, it's not a good idea to walk down the street. No,
you wouldn't walk too far.
I would get my ass kicked by the cops and the protesters. And deservedly so. But yeah, so when Tuesday and Wednesday, definitely you will see me. And on the 30th, that one will be at at the bonfire down the street from UNLV. If you know where that White Castle is and the Hofbra House, that whole area, I don't remember the exact street, but it's the Bonfire Grill, which was somebody's attempt to make a conservative Republican style vet bar in the middle of the Fruit Loop district, which is amazing because they
excellent planning.
Yeah, it's literally a like conservative bar across the street from Piranha's.
Jeez.
So, you know, they got full magazines in there. Anyways. Yeah. That's what I will be doing. I got three spots for y'all to come and see me perform. And my special thanks to everybody at the West Side Tavern in Pahrump. We had an excellent show over there too.
Awesome. Awesome. What about cameos, brother? Can people get a cameo from you?
Yes, you can get a cameo as Donald Trump. You can get a cameo as Barack Obama, as whoever the fuck you want. And just so we can make this, let's see, where is it? No. My story. Fuck my story. My cameo. No. Oh, yeah, here we go. My cameo is v.cameo.com/e/ what the fuck? DOMA1KDG7LB. No, just go on my Vegas Trump Guy page on Instagram and it will have the link that you can click on. And my cameos are a nominal fee of $25 because I'm not full of myself.
Well played. Well played, man.
I'm not all right. That good yet. Now, when, next year, they'll go up to, $27.95. That'll be the tariff price.
There you go. Got to get the tariff price factored in. All right, guys. Hey, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. Rob, we made it through another one, brother.
I'm sorry I slept through half of it with all these fucking boring matches.
Yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes, man. That's the way it goes. But, we'll be right back here next week. Same time, same place to give you all some of this wrestling knowledge and bring you up to speed on everything that's going on in the world of pro wrestling. But until then.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.